Hello, courageous hustlers, and welcome back to another episode. I had the privilege and honor of sitting down with Janelle Williams, who is a graduate from the Spelman College and Howard University of Law. She became a licensed attorney in Georgia in 2004, and after suffering one of the greatest loss of her life when her maternal grandmother passed away unexpectedly, the fallout of her passing without an estate plan left a permanent impression on Janelle. And she says that the vast majority of African Americans don't have any legal documents laying out their final wishes for medical care or their life savings. And her experience led her to focusing on finding solutions that could prevent other families from the anger and confusion that often surrounds the final days of a loved one. It's become her mission to educate her community about the legal ways to preserve their legacy and to offer affordable, flat fee services that are straightforward and clear. I had the privilege of getting to ask Janelle some of the burning questions that I had in my mind regarding this topic. And so I'm super excited for you guys to get to know a little more about Janelle and her mission. So with that being said, let's get into today's show.
Welcome to the show, Janelle. I am so excited to have you here. First of all, I feel like there's so much great synergy between you and I. We've only had a couple of conversations, but just your yes is beautiful. Just the fact that you agreed to come on here. I know that, you know, you had a bit of reservations coming on a podcast. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to just tell the people a little bit, some of the courageous hustlers listening, who you are, what you do, and how do you serve people?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Sandra. It means the world to have a safe space to chat. I love the courageous hustler concept, love listening to the podcast. So happy to be on here. I am Janelle Williams. I am a mom and a wife and a sister and a daughter, and I am committed to educating and empowering communities about estate planning with legal documents. I think that it's unfortunate that more than 70% of Americans don't have a plan. And so it's important for us to have culturally competent conversations. It's important for us to find out ways to build generational wealth. It doesn't make sense for us to build these successful businesses and to be so intentional about being successful and getting our messaging out there, and then we're not protecting it to make sure it gets to our spouses, our babies, our loved ones. So my platform is Everyone Needs a Plan. It's 100% chance that we're all going to pass away. And so let's be intentional about setting up our next set of folk, our babies, our nieces, nephews, loved ones for generational wealth.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I agree. I feel like this is one of those topics that we just need to get really loud with, right? I know for a fact, and this is coming from a Hispanic background, obviously, you know, I don't like to use the word minorities, but we're the minorities in this country. And okay. I know for a fact that I have family members that don't know anything about this. And so I'm so excited that we can even just chat about some of what does that actually look like, right? What does it look like to, you know, in case of an accident, you get into an accident, you don't necessarily pass away or something, you're not legally protected because you didn't set up some of the stuff, right? Who's going to make decisions for you if you are in a state, a medical state that you can't make medical decisions for yourself, things like that. So I'd love for you to tell me, how did you actually get into this? Like, what was it that made you get into this type of law?
So it's a funny little story, right? Because I went to law school to be a public defender. I grew up in Brooklyn, in a pretty rough neighborhood full of immigrants, and we had a lot of folk who relied on public defenders, and I wanted to go to college and law school, which was new to my family. My grandparents and my parents did not do that. And I wanted to support the voiceless. I wanted to be an excellent attorney and advocate for people in the justice system who seemed to have a lot of attorneys who didn't care. That was my life goal. And so I did do that for 13 years. In that season, I lost my grandmother. My grandmother was the complete matriarch of my family. She had 8 daughters and 1 son. a lot of personality there. And she had a brain aneurysm. And so talking about what happens if you don't die, what happens if you are traumatically injured in some way and you can't communicate, well, she couldn't communicate what she wanted us to do. And a lot of us have heard of stories of people like Terry Schiavo. She was a woman in Florida who was recently married and had this traumatic accident and was basically in the position of a vegetable. Her husband said she wouldn't want to live that way. Her parents were like, hey, bro, you new here. We want to keep her alive. And so they fought, went to court after court after court. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court, who finally decided that as the husband, he had the right to remove her from support. And she lived for 14 years, pretty much bedbound, unable to communicate well, basically with no real quality of life. And so this accident happened in her 20s. She died in her 40s. And so this concept of having loved ones who have an illness or an accident is a real thing. And so in this particular situation, there were the group of family members who felt like she was going to come back believing for a miracle. And there were the group of family members who felt like she wouldn't want to be in this position in the ICU. And so there was contention. And at the end of the day, my family, a lot of us stopped speaking to each other. And it was really traumatic at the time, because not only were we dealing with the grief around her illness, and then the subsequent grief of her loss, she actually was removed from life support on my birthday, but also the grief of our family not kind of knowing how to function without her being there. Had she put her own decision in writing, I'm sure there would have been family members who were upset, but they would have been upset with her, right? It was her decision to make. But because she didn't make that decision, it left a lot of sour feelings. And of course, everything you own goes up in value when you pass away. So then there's the disagreements about who gets what and all of that. And I remember thinking, like, I want to learn more about this. I took it and studied it long enough to get an A in the class, and that was it. And so I started looking into it, and there was very little cultural competency in the space. It's a very white male dominated area of law. It's pretty boring, particularly compared to criminal defense. And so when I started looking at quality of life and thinking it was time for me to step away from public defense, it was an intriguing area to move into. And so in that process, that's when I learned how, particularly in Black and Brown communities, we don't want to talk about money. We don't want to talk about death. We certainly don't want to talk about money and death. And so it really was challenging to encourage these communities to come in and talk to an attorney who wasn't culturally competent, who was going to kind of talk over them and use big words and make them feel uncomfortable, to really get to the place where they do a plan. They meet with a lawyer, not really connect with them, and walk away. And I felt like this was a space where I could advocate for not just generational wealth, but how we protect our assets, right? How we make sure that the things that we purchase, the things we're working really hard for, go to the people that we love and that we care for. So that was my entry, was losing my grandmother, and in all honesty, losing some relationships in my family and wanting to prevent other people from having that experience.
Wow. That is, well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. That's, and I think a lot of people could relate that they sometimes start, they get interested in something because of a personal thing that occurred in their life. So that's crazy to even put it in this perspective and then be able to say, well, and this is now what I do for a living, because the purpose became so much bigger than just, you know, it started with your grandmother and now you're out here, probably, I don't even know how many lives are being touched by this. So
thank you
for advocating also for women of color, families of color, all the things that I know for a fact are, there are so many people, right? I think you and I spoke about this on a coaching session, like, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking about the woman that's right now sitting somewhere by herself, needs this information, and she doesn't know where to find it because she does get intimidated. I love the fact that you brought that up, where it's like some people get intimidated to go and reach out to others because it is a male dominated industry, and not even just males, but white males. And so it's like, it does get intimidated. You kind of also approach the conversation of like, man, am I asking stupid questions?
And there's no such thing, right? I think that it really kind of reinforces the patriarchy to me. We, in this traditional Christian perspective of family and marriage, there is this kind of like, I'm going to sit quiet and my husband's going to deal with it. He's going to make the decisions. It's going to be okay. Well, unfortunately, number one, we live longer. So we're the ones who typically end up making the final decision. Second of all, 50% of marriages end in divorce. And so we're not talking about where's the money, whose name is on it, how are we holding it and making sure it gets to these children and not the children of your second marriage, we end up not being able to maintain wealth. So the conversation is really bigger than saying, well, I kind of want things to go here, but I don't really want to make a fuss. It becomes, are we empowering women to use their voice? Because as women go, the family goes, right? So we can't just leave this conversation to men to make the decisions for us as to where our house goes and where our assets go and our life insurance goes. We're making the money now. We are part of the conversation. And even if you are a domestic goddess and your income is not tangible, right? Your income is all the amazing things you're doing to keep your home running, you deserve a seat at the table about where the things you as a family have collected, where they go.
That brings up a really, really good, well, actually I have a question. It's more of a question, but let's say someone actually doesn't have assets. It is like, let's just say it's a single mom or a single dad, or, you know, a couple that they don't have assets, but they do have children. What would be one of the things that you would actually suggest for them to do first?
So when we do a will-based or a trust-based plan, we do something that's called ancillary documents as part of the plan, right? So people like that who come to me and say, I don't own a house, I don't have life insurance, I don't have retirement, I don't have any of those things, but I am concerned that the wrong person might end up raising my children, or I am concerned that I may be on life support and I don't want to be, we can do a power of attorney, which is what allows someone to keep your bills paid, can access your Social Security card, your birth certificate, make sure that you're getting the appropriate services, your insurance is kicking in. We do an advanced healthcare directive, which is where you get to name who is the person I want to make the decision about me coming off of life support, and under what parameters do I want to be kept alive? And in those documents, we can name not only who takes care of you if you're not going to pass, you're going to be here for a while, who's going to be your guardian or conservator, but also who's going to be the guardian for your children. That is so crucial, and people don't think about it till they're in crisis. If something happens to you and you have not named who your children are going to live with, they oftentimes will end up in defects care. So even if grandma steps up, auntie steps up, the children run to them, clearly know who they are. If they have not had something put in writing saying you have vetted them, the state needs to vet them. This is how defects here in Georgia get sued all the time, because they put them with the wrong person. Something happens, and then the family members say, we're going to sue you for making this poor decision. So by putting a guardianship provision in place, you're saying, I vetted them. Doesn't matter if they tested positive for marijuana. Doesn't matter if maybe they had a glitch in their criminal history 10, 20 years ago. I trust them with my children, and I want them to go there. So even if it's not about saying, here's where the house goes or here's where the life insurance goes, we still want to make provisions to make sure that our choices are respected through an advanced healthcare directive and a power of attorney, and that our babies go to the place we'd like them to go. Someone who matches our morals and values, and that allows us to avoid the court system.
Oh my God, this is so valuable. And I really hope that, you know, our listeners, that any courageous hustler out there that's listening to this, like, go take action, right? Like, I need you to pick this up like it's gold. Like, don't run, telepath to go get this done. Because to be honest with you, I feel like that is one of the things that in, I don't know if this is because of the way we were raised, but it's like, once we hit a place that there's trauma, now we react to it. And it's like, I don't want when trauma or adversity or anything of an emergency like this shows up, for you to be so confused that you're just like, I have no idea to where to even start.
It's hard to make decisions in crisis. It's so hard. It's to be at your husband's bedside, wondering what he wanted you to do in the midst of, I have to tell the kids what's happening, and I have to talk to the doctors, and I have to call his mom. That it is such a traumatic, chaotic space to make a decision. So it's better for you when you're feeling good and you're happy and healthy to sit down with your loved ones and say, this is what's important to me, and then document it. Because what we don't want is one person saying he said this thing and another person saying he said something else, because now we're forced to go to court. So put it in writing and make it while you're in a good head.
And I love that you just even said that, like, what we don't want is for people to come in suddenly now say, this is going to cost us even way much more because now we have to go to court. If you set up some of these documents up front, you can avoid and save yourself money probably from having to go to court and time. Absolutely. Right. I love this conversation. I love this because I do think that we need to make it more accessible. Like, how, you know, and I've said this to you, like, how does the person that's not fortunate enough to be able to, you know, hire a lawyer, they're probably just like, well, what do I do? Or how do I even start? What would be some of the things that you would recommend? Like, if someone doesn't have the budget, or someone doesn't have they don't even have the resources to actually do some of this, are there organizations that would set this up for you at a low cost or anything like that?
For sure. So there are certainly legal aid societies in most major cities here. We have Atlanta Legal Aid that will do that for you. Oftentimes, though, there's a long wait. So here in Georgia, you can Google the statutory forms for a power of attorney and advanced healthcare directive. The negative is it doesn't work anywhere else but Georgia, but it is an opportunity for you to fill out a form to put your wishes in writing. A lot of times you'll go to the doctor and they'll ask you if you have one. And if you say no, they'll hand you a form where you're just kind of checking off boxes and you put people's names down and sign it. So that's always an option. I don't know what it is in every state, but most states have some kind of statutory document for a power of attorney and advanced healthcare directive. So that's a great place to start. Another great place to start is that any account that you have, you can make payable on death. So if you have a bank account and there's a couple thousand dollars in it, and you know your family will need that money if something happens to you, you go to the bank and you say to them, I would like to make my account payable on death. So if I made my account payable on death to you, you can't take any money out while I'm alive. You don't have any control over it, but something happens to me, you can just go get the money, right? It doesn't become what's called a probate asset. So we don't have to go to court to gain access to that. We can just go ahead and take it out after we've provided some proof that you've passed away, which is typically a death certificate that is free. It's really easy to do. Some banks even let you do it online, or it just may mean a visit to your branch. You sign the paperwork, put that person's name down. You'll also need their social security number. And now you can ensure that whatever funds are in that account, or if you know your check goes in that account weekly or biweekly, they'll be able to get that money out in the time of a crisis.
That's good to know. And I think that another good thing to mention is like all this planning, all this estate planning is great for your personal life. But what happens when you do have a business, right? And I'm pretty sure we could go down a rabbit hole of like these are the things you need to make sure because you are now not just yourself, but now a whole business. Does the family member have to go dissolve it? And what happens with all the assets or all the liabilities? Or girl, it's exhausting
And
to
that's
even think.
the thing. And it seems exhausting and it seems so overwhelming sometimes to sit and think about it, right? But again, 100% of us are going to pass. So if you are being intentional about growing your business, you're investing in coaching, you're investing in taking master classes on how to do it, why wouldn't you put some plan in place to make sure that your babies can still eat off of that business? So we're able to take the shares of your business, place them in a trust-based plan. And what happens is if you are not able to care for yourself, you're incapacitated, or if you passed away, you get to name the person who takes over the business. You can even say, like, give very distinct instructions. I want it sold and I want the proceeds to sit in trust, or I want this named person to continue the business. It also gives real confidence to your clients, right? Your clients are confident that if something happens to Sandra, the funds that I paid her, I'm still going to get what I paid for, or I'm going to be able to get a refund, right? So it really is good business management. Right? When we talk about being a good entrepreneur and just not working in our business, part of working on your business is a plan for either succession or a transfer of power if something happens to you.
That is really good to know. And I mean, here's the thing. I have a lawyer for the business part of my business. Then I also have a trademark lawyer for that stuff, right? Yeah. But now I'm like, okay, well, you and I need to talk about all this other stuff because I don't know if the other bit, I don't know which lawyer is doing what. And it's just really good. What you just said really hit for me because I don't know what that looks like. And if I am trying to be intentional about the business that I'm growing and, you know, the assets that I do have, I know for a fact that my husband and I had this conversation, and it's a tough conversation to have, like
It
you said.
takes courage. It takes courage to sit down and face the reality of your future. So just like when you first get married and you sit down and talk about what it might be like to have a child, and it takes courage to say, we're gonna do this. And it takes courage to parent these children through newborn and adolescence and teenage years, God help us, right? That is all courageous behavior. It takes courage to keep that plan talking going, right? The plan continues even after the babies are gone. What are we doing with all of these things we've worked so hard to accumulate? Where does it go?
And you know, this is the whole premises of this particular show. Like, you know, being a courageous hustler is not just thinking about the things that you're currently doing. It's also about, well, how do you build a legacy, right? How do you build something, and how do you pass on for the people that are going to be here after you're gone, right? And so thank you so much for sharing all of that. I mean, listen, I don't know if y'all don't pick up all this play that Danelle dropped, you better know. Okay. And then the other thing too is I also would love for you to share a little bit about, like, what does it, I mean, again, what does it take? It doesn't, and I know it takes, obviously they could just book a consultation with you. That's what it's going to take. If they're in the Georgia state, please go ahead and book a consultation with
We'd
Janelle.
love to have you.
Yes. And what does it actually take? Like, what would be some of the things? Like, if I said, oh, I'm gonna come see you, what kind of documents do I need to have ready so that we can get the ball rolling?
So that's the other great thing about estate planning is an opportunity to accumulate everything, right? A lot of us have a retirement plan from our first job, we never rolled over. And then we had the life insurance policy from this place, and I have one with my spouse. And I know we had a bank account with USAA we didn't close, but I don't know if there's money in there. This is the time where you pull all of that stuff together, right? So, where are the security deeds for the house? Where is your money, right? Let's just make sure we know, even if it's $5 somewhere, I want the $5 to go to my children. So, where are all the accounts? Do we need to now consolidate some of these accounts? Where are these retirement accounts? So many of my clients end up rolling over small retirement accounts they forgot that they had. So, you're going to get all your finances, all your assets together. And so, an asset is anything your name is on. If you have a stock, any type of securities, an IRA, a Roth, anything that you've put your name down as something that is belonging to you that you have control over, we need that information, right? So you're going to gather all of that so that when we're making a plan, we know what we're planning for. So if you have a $10,000 life insurance policy you want to put in a trust, we're going to make plans around that dollar amount. But if you have $1 million life insurance policy, what's the plan for that? Right. So we need to know all your numbers. We need to know how you're holding your business, where your articles of incorporation, so that we can make sure we make the plan best crafted for your situation.
This is really good. So the other day, you know, I saw a video. A guy was talking about like generational wealth, and he's rich. The guy is rich, right? And someone asked him, well, you know, what do you pass on to your children? And he said something along the lines that it really hit me because it made me think I need to do more planning around this, right? It's not about giving your child a blank check. It's not about that. So the fact that you just brought up, like, okay, if you have $1 million life insurance policy, you want to make sure you're intentional on how this is going to get distributed out, because the last thing we need is to pass down wealth that is mismanaged or mishandled, right?
And it
And
becomes a burden, right? Because the reality is, we know our children today in 2024. We have no clue who they'll be 20 years from now. So I don't know about you, but if you gave me $1 million at 18, maybe even 25, I might have made some decisions that I would regret in my 40s, right? But if you have it where the beneficiary of your life insurance policy is your trust, you're able to say things like, upon graduation from high school, they get 5,000. Upon graduation from college, they get 20,000. They get 50,000 to start a business. I want them to get 40,000 towards their first marriage, because we ain't trying to encourage foolishness. Just that first wedding. I want them to get 10,000 to put aside for each grandchild. You are able to make that money last till the next generation. And this is really how we're able to give our children and grandchildren, and sometimes even our great grandchildren, a leg up. So they're not starting at bottom level. They have these extra tools and these extra dollars to live a life that maybe we dreamt of living 20 years ago, that took us a while to get
to
to the
get.
place where we could do what we wanted to. So it is really a wonderful, wonderful tool to continue to give your loved ones financial guidance and just overall moral guidance. Because if you say, I want you to get this amount of money when you get married, you're saying, I want you to get married. If you say, I want you to get this amount of money when you have a child, you're saying, I want you to have a child. So it's a beautiful way to continue to be there for your loved ones, even if you're not physically present.
That is beautiful. I love all of that. We're gonna talk offline on this, because
Absolutely.
I need you in my life. I mean, I know you're in
Absolutely.
Georgia, but I'm willing to figure this out, right? Okay. So you know, I do appreciate you sharing all of that. Again, that is extremely valuable information. The one thing that continues to come up for me is like, man, it really does take a lot of courage to sit down as you're still healthy, well, and sound of mind, and say, hey, let's do some planning. But I honestly think that part of being a courageous hustler is actually planning for when you're not able to do all these other things. If life happens, life continues to happen every single day. I don't know what's going to happen for me tomorrow. And if you are, you know, in the dark and you just don't know, you don't want to leave your family in the dark either. And so this was such a great conversation, Janelle. Thank you so much for sharing all those nuggets. I truly do appreciate it. Tell me, before we wrap it up, I always like to make sure that I'm honoring your time because I do appreciate it. Before we wrap it up, where can people find you? How can they get in touch with you?
So the name of my firm is Georgia Wills and Trust. And so we're at Georgia Wills and Trust everywhere. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. And I give little nuggets of education and empowerment. The tagline for my business is designing legacy and protecting dreams. So I tell you ways to do that with little tidbits of information so that you can find an attorney and be informed about that process, right? We don't want an attorney who has five different practice areas because you don't want it to be where you're a master of a whole bunch of stuff, right? We want someone who does estate planning and probate. This is what they do all day, every day. You'll get tips on what to ask the lawyer, what you're looking for when you're talking to those lawyers. And I'm hoping that by continuing this conversation, we'll have more people normalize talking about a plan for our future involving estate planning. So yeah, I'd love for you to follow me there. I'm kind of new to social media, but I'm enjoying the feedback I'm getting. And I really appreciate your encouragement about the fact that we need to have this conversation. And even though it takes courage, if you're here, you're a courageous hustler. So you have it in you. Just find the right professional to walk through the process with you.
Yes, yes. And obviously, if you're in the Georgia state, please reach out. Janelle is amazing. The one thing I will say is I'm going to make sure that all those handles that you mentioned are in the show notes. So make Thank sure you. You go check the show notes. You also made a mention earlier before we started recording that you did a webinar. What was that about?
Was connected to charitable giving. It was from my old school. I was in the most expensive school in New York City from 6th grade to 12th grade. And so we were encouraging people about how to give charitably through an estate plan. So maybe you don't have $10,000 to give to your favorite church or your favorite institution, but you can leave plans in your trust to say, mm-hmm. when I'm not here, I want to benefit Planned Parenthood. I want to benefit this organization that's meant a lot to me, this school that has gotten me to a really powerful place. And we talked a lot about the fact that women are often not in the conversation. It's an all-girls school that I attended, and how it's so important that women find their voice, that we pull up to the table, we sit upright, and we say everything with our full chest, and we don't allow other people or the patriarchy of our society to keep us quiet, because we're building these businesses and we have the right to have a voice about where our stuff goes. We have the right to say we want the wealth that we're generating to benefit not just our loved ones, but the people in our community that we trust and that we want to see these organizations continue. So it was a lot of fun. And I really hope that we can continue to empower women to do what they need to do to increase the wealth in their communities. Because as women go, so there's the community. You empower a woman, you empower the whole family.
Oof. Listen, I actually got chills as you were saying. So because Thank I you, actually I do see it, right? And I just the vision I just saw, I always see a lot bigger. And I don't know, maybe this is my toxic trait that I love being able to talk to people. And then I'm like, I see them on stages and I see you doing so many big things with this. That
Thank you.
It's beyond the capacity of what, you know, what you probably are like thinking, like, what is she talking about? But I've seen, like, I already saw you talk in big arenas and things like that, because I actually,
you better go ahead and prophesy. I'm here for it. Thank you.
Yes,
I think it's a beautiful thing for courageous women to empower other courageous women, right? Because your brain works in a remarkable way. I have met with you, and the way that you think never even occurs to me. And so I do think it's so crucial that we use our own platforms to lift each other up, not just our messaging, but our personhood, to encourage us to continue to use our voice in a powerful way. So thank you for inviting me to be on your podcast. This has been beautiful.
Thank you for coming. And I truly do hope that the listeners enjoyed this. If you need an estate planning lawyer, reach out to Janelle. She is thebomb.com. I absolutely love you. I know that it's a relatively new relationship, but I mean, this is such an important thing. And it's not just because of what you can do for me, but I feel so connected, so much synergy. You're such an amazing human. And I know that you're going to continue doing a lot of courageous hustler moves out here, helping other people
Thank
just
you.
be more courageous and
And
help you.
I'm working on an ebook specifically for busy moms to give them the information that they need to get the plan that they need to have, whatever state they're in. So stay tuned for that ebook. It's coming out
Yes.
soon.
Go sign up to her email list. I don't know what that
Yes.
looks like. Go
It's
sign up.
coming.
Yes, go
It's
follow
coming.
her. Make sure that you just stay tuned because a lot of great things are coming. I know for a fact that she's working on a lot of great things. And so thank you so much for joining
Thank
me
you.
today.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode. As always, please go and follow us on all the social media channels if you have not done so already. Also, subscribe to your favorite podcast platform so that you don't miss out any new episodes coming up. Also, all our guest show information are here in the show notes. So make sure you also go follow our guest. And with that being said, stay courageous, and I will see you on the next episode.